I'm preaching in 1 Corinthians still, and I'm in chapter 3, 1 through 4. Paul the Apostle, by the Spirit, deals with concerns that you and I recognize from life. Christians having problems getting along. No way to count how many times and ways that we see this destructive tendency. Complaining, divisions, jealousy, competition issues, attitudes, unforgiveness, and strife. The Corinthians showed it in various ways. And one was that they would align themselves with certain people while treating others badly, like preferring a certain preacher because of personal taste. That was a main one that Paul, the apostle, confronted. They even scrutinized the apostles. It was crazy. And so Paul attacked this brand of Christianity that they were inventing, because this is what happens with this. When we let it go and we allow it, we're inventing a brand of Christianity that's not biblical. And so what they needed to understand is that it's a sin. And when he attacked it, he did it by focusing on Christ. Focused on the cross, focused on the resurrection, he focused on Christ Jesus's love. You know, stay united by what matters is really the sense. And then Paul said, everything builds on that. But another thing, and it's just as recognizable today, is that the gospel and its love core was becoming to the Corinthians just another thing. Yes, it's part of Christianity, but the attitude starts out to be, I've been there, I've done that, now what I care about is whatever I want to care about, and it's going to be something else. And so here's the problem. Disunity is thought to be a thing to pursue because you think it's okay. Disunity is thought to be a thing to pursue because you think it benefits you. Yet the whole time, you think it's okay only to consider the foundation some of the time. And this is really messed up. Yet we find this tragedy all over the church of our day. So I'll read 3, 1 through 4 and proceed from there. Paul said, "And I, brothers and sisters, cannot speak to you as spiritual people, but only as fleshly, or of the flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you are not yet able to consume it. But even now you're not yet able, for you are still fleshly," flesh-like. "For since there is jealousy and strife among you," that's the big two. "Since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like ordinary people, people of the world? For when one person says, I'm with Paul, or I'm of Paul, another, I'm with Apollos, or of Apollos, are you not ordinary people?" Because the meaning is we're extraordinary in Christ Jesus. "Prepare your heart for this sermon. Are you acting like a spiritual juvenile?" Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would bless us with truth. Truth that pierces our hearts, builds us up to live the life of Christ in a mature way. And that's what I'm asking that you would do with this sermon for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm not sure what your assessment of yourself is in respect to your Christianity. You may think you're mature. The Corinthians thought they were mature. But like them, there is this chance that you may be spiritually juvenile. And by juvenile, I mean the sense that Paul means by the Spirit. If you are someone whose ways and preferences and important areas depart from the mind of Christ, then you are thinking and you're acting as a fleshly person in respect to whatever that is. Living with jealousy and strife in your heart are two big ones, and they're very big. But being fleshly covers a lot of ways. And what it means to be like a fleshly person is that you have adopted the ways of the spiritually lost. That's what we're talking about. Those who were only flesh, void of the Spirit, live as if sinful jealousy and strife is as natural as breathing. And it's a matter of their nature. It's the nature of the unsaved. And it comes from self-love, which is absent of Christian love. And so the Spirit directs us to look at the ways of the unsaved, actually to look at them, to rebuke us, to exhort us for stifling the true ways of our new nature in Christ Jesus. It's a heavy reality check. It's meant to make you say, where's my ambition to manifest the fruits of the Spirit? I have to do it in this situation. Why am I not doing it? After all, it is an attribute of my salvation. And you are saved. So how do you put yourself into all this sinful mess? Well, you can be sinfully jealous and living in strife because you choose to do so by ignoring the Holy Spirit. And you can get into this sin by purposely seeking other fruit. And it happens if you choose to withhold the manifestation of Christ and His will as you go after something else. But the thing is, you're not absent of the Holy Spirit. What you're doing is disobeying what your Lord has already says He wants. And that's how you adopt the sickening ways of the lost back into your ways, looking more like them than like biblical Christianity. This is a problem with Corinthians. It's a problem that happens with us. And what it is, it's not the maturity of seasoned, stable spirituality. It's stunted spirituality. And when you choose purposeful immaturity, you choose it. You're the one deciding to wear a stinky diaper. You're the one who put it on. You're choosing to wear it. And you choose to toddle around in your poopy diaper, manifesting the stink of your self-imposed, stunted spirituality as hurt, as jealousy, selfish opinions, unforgiveness, ungodly division. Now, another way to understand this is to think about when your eyes were first opened by the Spirit. You loved Christ, Christians, Christianity for the first time. You got this supernatural love. And so as you've lived in your new life day to day, love and commitment for other Christians should be continuing and even growing. It should be. It should be more stable. If not, then the other way to think about this is that either none of that was true, you are not saved, or you're being a spiritual juvenile delinquent. But here's the thing. Unlike the lost, those only in the flesh, none of that needs to be there with you, and it should not be. So tune into Paul's describer words. Paul says he can't talk to those saved people like to spiritual people. And so what he's doing is he's forced to go basic on them. He needs to go back to the equipping facts of life that's laid down of Christ in kindergarten, because their lack of spiritual common sense is not, they don't have it. Now, sometimes God has to start way back at preschool to get you back to regular school. And if you're not thinking with the mind of Christ, you need to be retold what the mind of Christ is. You just need to be reminded. There are times that we all need this. God comes at us, and He treats us as if we are fleshly. It's a spiritual face slap. He says, wake up, grow up, look at what you're doing. Your thinking really is matching people of the flesh. You're not operating in the Spirit. People of the world who are messed up in their spiritual thinking, that's what you're doing. And if this is happening, God wants you to be humble. Humble before Him about how bad this is. It's very bad. It's supposed to be a sobering slap. Now, looking like the lost, acting like a juvenile Christian, should be embarrassing, and it should be sorrowful. You should realize that if you're content with division and strife, with complaining, comparing, criticizing, this is a Corinthian problem that can be your problem, then you really do look like the unsaved. And this is what you need to deal with. Now, we all know that we can slip into sin. We all know this, but the Corinthians show that what should have been a rare exception had become their way. And Paul says they have the mind of Christ, which you have too, but they're acting like they have amnesia. Amnesia has set in. And if you get spiritual amnesia about living the good news, because that's what we're talking about, living the good news, being the good news to others, then you need this spoon feeding on the good news again. You need the basic baby food teachings to get you back into the reality of what you should have already known. And I've seen this kind of stunted growth. I've seen it with Christians that I've tried to counsel with God's word. God's word. And I found that basic teachings seem to be absent from their thinking and absent from their actions. I mean, you would expect that they would be there. They just are not. Like the lack of understanding true biblical commitment and unity is a must. I've counseled a lot of people with sound, classic direction from God's word. People in all kinds of situations. I simply speak the word of God into their situation. Very basic stuff. I'm just talking about very basic stuff. Nothing controversial in terms of what's classic Christian teaching. And some of those people who claim to be Christians have retaliated against me because I use God's word. They act fleshly. And so, though you are saved as a miracle work of God, And though you have the Holy Spirit, always seek God to guide you to live the basics as you go. Look to him as your counselor for how to look and think like a spiritual person, not like someone who's fleshly, but like someone who's mature, like someone who has been starstruck by the gospel, okay? Now let's look at the growing up part. One of the main problems that you have to deal with if you detect this kind of stunted growth in yourself is focus. Just think about focus. You stunt your growth when you neglect God's main things of his heart focus. I mean, if you act like the basic gospel is somehow a thing for others to focus on, but not you, then you need to admit that you have stunted growth. That's what we're talking about. This is what Paul the Apostle means. And the Corinthians quickly quit focusing on life, that is the changing part, the good news of Christ. And what they focus on was another part of life. And what did that shift give them? That shift got them problems. The word was shift, by the way. And they tried to justify the path that they chose. Now, the principle is very real. Take any Christian who is distracted. If they would focus on the foundation that God has ordained to be the deepest, most amazing spiritual wisdom of all, their lives would reflect the wisdom of God. Paul said he brought them milk. Well, we think of milk, it's the food of infants, and that's what he does mean. It's basic, but it's powerful gospel. It's the gospel message of God's love. But he also keeps repeating something. And the sense is this: milk is what you need to keep feeding on as you grow while you're moving on to other things. All right? So in Christianity, you never grow out of needing the milk in your daily diet to supplement other teachings. You don't want to keep the milk, you know, someplace else. Keep the milk at the table with the whole meal of solid food, even when you think that you've matured enough to choose something else. Paul reminded them, he was with them. He didn't give them all kinds of other deep doctrinal revelations, harder food, because he knew they weren't able to receive it yet. Now, there was this man, Apollos, very vibrant, dramatic preacher, according to tradition, the descriptions of Apollos. Very good orator. He served the Lord. He was there in Corinth. He was a preacher. And he built on the important foundation, which is good. He had deep teachings. But fleshly Corinthians decided they'd be picky, and they would prefer the preaching of Apollos. And they went off and they joined what we would call the Apollos flavor of ministry. But to get them back on track, back on God's way, Paul explained that he, Paul, laid out basics. And Apollos came along, he built on the foundation that Paul laid. Now, there's nothing wrong with building on Paul's foundation with truth, especially when the foundation focus is of first importance. That's what Apollos was supposed to do. But Paul and Barnabas was another apostle, they understood something that Apollos did not discern. They knew the special ministry needs of their target people group. And so they not only focused on the milk of the basic message, concentrating on it as the most important thing. That was what they did in their teaching, but they discerned the overall atmosphere of adolescence of the Corinthians. And Paul and Barnabas knew they needed to re-explain things. They needed to reorient and reinforce over and over again. As a pastor, I find I got to do this. I know what this means, okay? And they needed to do it with the foundation over and over again because they're grounders. They want to make sure it's a true grounding. They want to make sure that they laid out things that was repetitive to get people into those truths so they wouldn't come back later and say something that had nothing to do with what they just learned about the truth. In fact, it was the opposite. See? Even though they're seeking after other truths, they still need that grounding. But people want more and more and more. Paul understood. He discerned the situation. Now, with myself, I try to emphasize things that a lot of modern-day Christians either don't know or forget, or a lot of preachers just don't want to talk about. And I keep teaching, manifesting the life of Christ. That's a big one that you will hear. Rather than simply just being religious, see? It's not just obedience for obedience' sake. It's the life of Christ that God puts in you. And I repeat that to where an aha moment will come on people sometimes. I keep teaching to understand the whole Bible through the apostolic revelation given for understanding. If you just go to the Bible and say, I'm going to figure it all out and make it mean what I make it mean, you're going to run into lots of error. Look at what the apostles say about it and say, oh, that's what it means. God called them to do that. And so I keep teaching this. I keep laying it out, and I say it, and I say it, and then ultimately, aha moments. I keep teaching to understand the whole Bible through that lens, and it's new covenant orientation. I keep repeating that over and over again. New covenant orientation. Instead of looking at through the lens of the old covenant into everything, which you can do, look through the apostolic lens of the new covenant at the way they understand everything now in the redemptive fulfillment in Christ Jesus, and wow. It all makes sense according to what they're saying, but I have to repeat this. I keep teaching that Christ's law is not a huge list of things. It's love. Everything else is instruction. Instruction, but the law is love. And I keep teaching that you cannot lose your spiritual salvation. You know why? You would not believe how many people here, they cannot lose their salvation, and you show it from the scripture, and they still fear that they're that close to losing their salvation. I teach over and over, you're safe, you're secure. God loves you, you love him. You know, you're always forgiven in Christ Jesus. He is your righteousness. I'll say it over and over again. There are other things. But what I'm doing is I'm grounding. And I'm always trying to keep the focus on the life of Christ, which is milk that needs to always be there in anything I teach. And Paul had keen discernment. He knew the Corinthians were prone to shallow spirituality, prone to being particularly selfish. They were people who acted like they understood, but their actions show they didn't. And so I'm just getting at a trend here. There's a lot of teaching out there, and it's a lot more than just the basic grounding focus. Your taste can become very sophisticated, and you long for complex flavors, and I know how it is. God's given us these things. Oh, there's lots of insights to learn. There is gourmet food. It's good food, but here's the point. As you get that, follow what I'm saying. As you get that food, as you pursue that, be careful not to leave the milk in the refrigerator. The Lord is saying to never forget that the simple things, the foundational things, that they're the big deal. They're always supposed to be there, actually supporting everything else. That's what it's built on. All right? Fruits of the Spirit. Those are simple things. And so the Corinthians thought they needed to advance to other levels, but Paul knew they were not. Why? Because they left behind the simple things, the basics. The basics that always need to be there. They were not even manifesting the fruits of the Spirit. So what are they doing looking for other stuff? And why? Where's your milk? You know that you have it with you when you live the love gospel of the cross with Christ's love work applied. Christ Jesus' love work applied. It's been applied to your life. It should be being applied outwardly to other people from your life. And so, you may be very eager to receive higher level things, but the way you act right now and the way you think right now checks you on whether you're doing the first things first. If you are a divider, if you're jealous, unforgiving, then you're going to be the same way when you gather more knowledge. See? This is what Paul's getting at. Or when you go get your new teacher that you revere, and you may be getting all kinds of exotic, delicious food. Just don't allow your diet to get you to put Christ's love on the shelf and start dividing from everyone you disagree with because you're so sophisticated now. You know, on my part, I found it's difficult to convince fleshly Christians of this. I have a hard time seeing it. And the Corinthians demonstrate how this problem can be there and not see it as a problem. You know, Paul's the outsider. He's looking in. He's got a report. Others evidently saw it. People into it, they're not seeing it. And so I think we all do well to remember the prophetic word in Revelation, God's word to the church of Ephesus. There was a real church. I know there's prophetic insights, but there was a real church in Ephesus, and it's in Revelation. And what God said is that he knew their deeds, he knew their toil, he knew their perseverance. So they had all sorts of pursuits, very good spiritual pursuits. And God said that he knew that they could not tolerate evil men. So they had a really good discernment of evil. And it informed them of what they should tolerate or not tolerate. God said he knew that they didn't put up with false prophets, false apostles. Well, all that sounds like maturity, doesn't it? But was it? God said he knew that they persevered. He knew that they endured for Christ Jesus, for him specifically. Wow. Just gets better and better and better. But hold on a second. God says all that about them, and then immediately he says he has something against them. I wonder what that was. He says, you have left your first love. And what did God say in that passage was their first love? He said it was the deeds they were doing at first. The deeds they were doing at first. Well, what did they do at first? The same thing that you and I are called to do. Live the basics. They focused on the important foundation of the good news, the gospel. They focused on Christ, the important doctrine of loving the way Christ loves. It's all him. It's all his life. He's the one. It's good news. He's the first foundation. And so if the church at Ephesus kept that with everything else instead of keeping it in the refrigerator, then God would not have anything against them. Nothing at all. Now, look at what Paul says these abrasive tendencies are when you lose focus on the first love things. Let's look at those two words, jealousy and strife. Now, Paul is talking about sinful jealousy. It's not like when you read about God being jealous of his people who worship false gods, or we sing that song, he is jealous for me. That's an attribute of God. It's perfect. And so this here is sinful human jealousy and spiritual immaturity. And it means to nurture an attitude of envy that is accompanied by unloving actions. That's what this word means. So here's this Christian community, and they are actually doing this with one another. Fleshly envy held back the manifestation of Christ, the basics, you see. So bad actions followed. Envy. And then there's also strife. It means conflict with others. You're in conflict with somebody. Unforgiveness feeds it. And so the Spirit's putting out a mirror, so to speak, in front of each of us. What do you see when you look in that mirror? Do you see that you're jealous of someone? What about strife? Do you see strife anywhere at all, with anyone at all? When you see it, you know you are looking at a spiritual juvenile image. And it's you. It's you. And when you see it, you know how to answer Paul's question. Are you not fleshly when you have jealousy and strife? That's what he's saying. This whole sermon is about what God says is important. If you see these things, you see Adam and Eve. They became jealous, jealous of God. They disobeyed him. Now jealousy and strife is the way of the flesh. And what did they try to do? They tried to justify it. Don't try to justify. With their sons, Cain murdered Abel because of jealousy and strife. And what did Cain try to do? Tried to justify what he did. It's always the same pattern. Sinful jealousy and sinful strife is the survival instinct of all who are perishing in their sins. They try to justify it. And so as you look at your image in the mirror, you need to cringe at those flaws that you put on your own self. Don't try to justify it. The Corinthians got it wrong. They tried to justify their jealousy and strife. Try to justify so many of their actions. They thought the reasons for it made their divisive actions okay. But it can never be justified because it's never a fruit of the Holy Spirit. See, Galatians 5, 19 through 20 contrasts the deeds of the flesh from the fruits of the Spirit. And it says the deeds of the flesh are enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, and factions. There you are. And since the Spirit says there's no justification for it, what do you do? Do Romans 13, 12 through 14 as it explains. Well, what is that? It says, lay aside the deeds of darkness. Well, think of laying aside the dirty diaper, okay? And then it says, put on the armor of light. It's time to change. And it says, behave properly. It says, not in strife and jealousy. Interesting, huh? It says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its desires. Putting on the Lord Jesus Christ is another way of saying, I'm keeping the basics with me at all times. And if they start to go, I get them back. It's basic good news living. Act like someone who has received the Spirit from God, 1 Corinthians 2:12. Act like you're a temple of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 3:16. Look and see if you are jealous of things that you might not even thought about before, like another Christian's gifts. Look and see if you're jealous of another person's ministry, the way they look, maybe the attention they get. Look and see if you have strife with anyone in the body for any reason. The body of Christ, it's what we're called in Scripture. Is there someone that you have not forgiven? Is there someone you're not having grace with? See, the foundation is all about forgiveness and grace. This is what we're talking about. Agree with God. Tell Him, God, I know I'm having a wrong response. I know it's fleshly. It's baby-like behavior. Just be honest with God, right? Don't blame anyone else. Blame yourself. Submit to the Holy Spirit. Consider how Christ humbled Himself on the cross to deliver you from the sinful world of jealousy and strife. Think about your privilege to be loved by Jesus and all your own imperfections. And man, I have many. You do too. And all of our irritating self, right? Put on the love attitude of the cross in respect to others. Philippians 1:27 says, act in ways that are worthy of the good news of Christ. Worthy of the foundation. Worthy of the good news. That's what he means. Act in ways that are worthy of the good news of Christ. The basics. The milk. And then it says what? Stand firm in one spirit. Because it's foundational. It says, strive in togetherness for the faith of the gospel with one mind. Do that with this church, folks. Okay? And then it indicates in Philippians 2, you need to be focused on encouragement in Christ. Focus. You need to be focused on comforting from love. You need to be focused on fellowship of the Spirit. You need to be focused on affection and compassion. These are all fruits of the Holy Spirit. You need to be of the same mind, maintaining the same love, which is Christian love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. It's basics focus. It's manifesting the gospel in your life. And then it says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humble thinking, regard everyone else as more important than yourself. And it says, don't merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Why? This erases jealousy and strife and other things like it. It's foundation. It's basics. It's cleansing milk, see? There's more in Philippians 2. It says, have the same attitude Jesus had. Although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God something to be held too tightly, but he emptied himself and took the form of a bondslave, and being made in the likeness of men, of humanity, people, his own creations, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross, Paul says. Does this teaching seem basic to you? Well, the basics are deep, aren't they? They are deep. It's milk that you always need to be drinking from with every single meal. Be consumed with the love gospel of the cross, with Christ Jesus' love applied. Take hold of the resurrection life, because that's what came after the cross. It's how you manifest Christ's life from your heart. All this is why Paul and Barnabas focused upon Christ and Him crucified. He wanted them to be grounded. And this is why they wanted the Corinthians to see their need to do the same thing. So here's what you do. Learn, because that's what God wants us to do, and as you do, as you keep learning, dwell on the basics of living the good news by being good news to everyone, everywhere you are. Amen? Let's pray.